flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
My sister was a big ska, like some of the early Blink 182, No Doubt. Like, this takes me back to, like, you know, just get out of the bathroom with this playing while she's taking a shower or doing, you know, doing her hair. Like, just get out of the shower, get out of the bathroom. Now I hear that constantly too. Dad, I gotta poop. It's amazing how, and just, you know, no shame in the game when it comes to bodily functions from little kids. Got to poop. They'll walk through the house with their pants down. I got to poop. It's just like, guys, a little bit of shame, okay? A little bit of shame. But let's introduce the into our baseball conversation, because I'm hopped up on baseball. It's time. It's starting to become time. Right, we're a couple weeks away for the Yankees. I think it's the 27th. I just saw the Mets schedule too. Hold on. The Mets spring training schedule. The Yankees, I believe, are the first game they're going to broadcast is the 27th. Yeah, and the Mets are the 22nd. We are there. We are 3 weeks away from televised baseball games. It's time to order my Bob Carpenter scorebook. And I was looking through, I don't know, I've talked about this a lot on the show. If I can, I don't do it every single year because they're expensive and it's a hard thing to justify. I haven't done it in a couple years now, but I forget, 2 years ago maybe I did it? Definitely during COVID I did it because I had nothing else going on. There was no basketball, baseball, so I had to do something. But at the start of the year, sometimes, if I can, I like to buy a baseball glove and break it in as the season starts. Breaking in a new baseball glove is like my favorite thing to do. I have a handful of gloves. I like them a lot. I'm a Rollins Heart of the High guy. We talked about this. There's a company called 44 that makes great gloves. I'm yet to pull the trigger on anything but my Rollins. Love them. Always love them. Love the smell of a brand new glove. I'm a baseball junkie. So if I can, I like to bring in a new glove every whatever year, start of the year, and kind of break it in while I watch through April and stuff and take it nice and slow, oil the glove, break it in. I mean, I don't really play. I'd love to play even just softball or something. Maybe this year I'll try and do it. But I got to tell you, part of the reason I've been going on with the New York Yankees trading for Nolan Arenado is his model of Rollins' Heart of the Hide is beautiful. And if they trade for Nolan Arenado and bring him here, I don't think there's any. I have to bring it in. I have to make it a part of the collection. So, but I'm getting ready for baseball. And let's introduce the Yankees into the conversation real quick. I'm going to get right to them. I'm going to go right back to your Met calls, introduce the Yankee calls here a little bit. And this is a little different, right? It's not necessarily about the Yankees. It's about the Blue Jays. Because I've been calling the Blue Jays frauds for forever, right? Even when they were good, even when they were making the playoffs, even when they were beating the Yankees, I just don't trust them. They haven't won a playoff game with this group. Last year was a disaster for them. It fell apart. Bichette had a miserable year. The offense has been way down. They've made a decision to kind of attempt to go with pitching and defense. Like they brought in Varsho and some different guys and tried to get and Kiermaier, and they've tried to become better defensively and let go of the Teoscar Hernandezes and stuff. Like, and it's failed them, and they've been a disaster. And I still consider them frauds. But I have to admit, this news today, Max Scherzer. Now, I don't know if you could trust Max Scherzer. $13 million seems like a lot. And with the Blue Jays, it'll probably blow up in their face. But if he's got anything and can have a bounce-back year, there are also rumors that right now, Alex Bregman has a 6-year offer from the Toronto Blue Jays just waiting there. I'm sure he doesn't want to take it, but maybe he will. And if they add Scherzer, Santander, Alex Bregman, along with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and probably a bounce back year from Dante Bichette, Springer, who's always dangerous, although he had a bad year last year, suddenly the Blue Jays are now a threat in that division to go along with a improving Red Sox team and a an upstart still, you know, 2 years in now, Baltimore Orioles team, who didn't do much this offseason. I'm surprised they didn't do a lot this offseason. But forget the Dodger talk, right? This whole thing, the New York Yankees are predicated. And where they are right now and their unwillingness to go over the tax and waiting for Stroman to get traded before they make a move at third base, this is all predicated, and we say it a lot, on the idea that they are the best team in the American League. Right? I just had an argument with a caller 2 minutes ago about the Yankees and the reason I put them number one at the dopey list, which, by the way, if you saw that on social media that I put out my definitive list, I gave it about 2 seconds of thought and a caller brought it up. I didn't like come up with a segment. Here it is. My definitive list on the teams most likely to win championship. A caller asked me, I did it real quick, and it's about the teams as they presently sit. I can't take into consideration trades and such not, and I do think the Jets with Aaron Rodgers have a chance to compete in the NFL. And I've seen the Rangers, never mind, we don't have to get it. I've seen the Rangers fail in the postseason when they've had great teams. It's just a hard thing for people like, Rangers, the Jets over the Rangers, what are you, nuts? Like, the Rangers, even when they're good, can't get through this playoff. I think the Jets have a chance. I know that's crazy. But if the Blue Jays are going to be, it's about being the best team in the American League. And I still think the Blue Jays are frauds. But I do have to admit, if Scherzer gives them anything and they could pitch a little bit, now they've lost guys in the bullpen, Romano's not their closer anymore. They do have some options. They've done some things. But that offense, if they add Bregman, because that's when it gets scary. And there is a report they have a $6 million deal on the table. If they add Bregman and they do everything they can to convince Vladimir Guerrero to stay, and they're not going to trade him because they're winning a little bit and they want to try and keep him, I mean, that is a lineup along with the Santander they added, who's a flawed player, but still, I mean, the middle, that's a dangerous lineup now. That's a dangerous lineup. And that's the moves that the Yankees should be reacting to. I don't care what the Dodgers do, and you got to keep up with them and react to them stealing everybody and signing every, you know, signing Kirby Yates and Tanner Scott and doing, you know, Blake Snell and everything they've done in this offseason. Roki Suzuki, who the Yankees had their hopes would come to them. Like, I don't care what the Dodgers do. I don't. I don't expect Hal Steinbrenner to be the Dodgers, and I don't think the Yankees should react to Dodger moves. But they better be the best team in the American League. Because it's a down American League, even with what I'm talking about happening in Toronto. It's a down American League. I think the Royals have a chance to continue to get better. I think the Tigers are clearly going to be better. I don't think that just because of how they performed at the end of last year means they're going to be a force. But they'll be better than they were for most of last year before going on that run. If Bregman goes back to Houston, they're always a threat. Always will be a threat until they're not. The Red Sox are getting a little bit better, and Baltimore has a bunch of young kids who underperformed in the second half, and they don't scare me as much, but still a very good team. And the Yankees have flaws, no doubt. But today, as we sit, the New York Yankees are the best team in the American League. Those types of moves. And Kim just signed with the Rays, although I'm not really worried about the Rays, but Kim goes to the Rays. Like, that's where the Yankees need to be. The Yankees better be the best team in the American League. And if they feel like they're not, and if Bregman and Scherzer go to, and again, who knows, Scherzer might not ever pitch. All right, I know it's a long shot, but something about it just, they're frauds, but something about Scherzer going there was just like, and then I hear Bregman for 6 years, and they brought in Santander, and they're in it on Pete Alonso. They're looking to make moves. And if they're looking to sell Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on staying, maybe they add at the deadline with like intensity and really try and convince him to stay. I don't know. But they better be the best team in the American League. And then the other thing that happened is, obviously, Polanco signs back with Seattle. It's $7.75 guaranteed money with incentives all the way up to $13 million. I got to be honest with you. I know I'm screaming about finding a better option at third base. I was glad to see Polanco go. That is a move I do not want for the Yankees. I want a legitimately solid player, and the Yankees have the ability to do it. Go get a rise. Go trade for my man Nolan Arenado. You know, even if you get Willie Castro and Vasquez as your backup catcher from Minnesota, which has kind of been talked about, that makes a little more sense because at least you're getting two players there. Like something. Polanco he's awful last year. I have no problem not bringing back Polanco. But still, the Yankees need to figure out that third base hole because they need to be the best team in the American League. And the Blue Jays are at least making the effort. And if Bregman goes there, now you're talking about a lineup that's better than the New York Yankees. I honestly, that for sure, the rest of their team doesn't compare. They don't have the rotation. They don't have the bullpen. But the lineup is better than the New York Yankees if Bregman goes there now. And they've added Scherzer to the back end of the rotation. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls. Mets, Yankees, baseball for the first couple hours of our five-hour midnight ride. Gerald in Maplewood. What's up, Gerald?
Hey, T-Mac, how are you, man?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Heartbroken how they treat Pete Alonso, but the same thing they did to Darryl Strawberry. We now have the richest owner in baseball. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, look at that. Frank Cashman didn't think Darryl Strawberry was worth $30 million back in the day. And he ended up signing where? The Dodgers.
No, he ended up leaving, but, I mean, I don't remember the exact details of that, but I know they didn't want to pay him, and Strawberry left, and Strawberry regrets it. But, yeah, I agree. Listen, as much as I was against it, it's starting to feel like, and mainly because of Pete. Pete doesn't want to go anywhere else. Now, the market hasn't been there for him either. I'm not trying to say it has, but it just feels like Pete's going to just hang around until the Mets and him come to some sort of an agreement.
It's also not fair. You can your own homegrown player, you can give Soto $765 million, and then, hey, that's just like a slap in the face, man. It's not fair. And we have the richest owner in baseball, and him and Sterling not like each other from what I'm reading or hearing. Mm-hmm. But hey, man, listen, man, this is your homegrown player. What is going on?
Yeah, I mean,
the 176 you turned down, go back to it. I mean, work with him.
I agree. I'm with you. I've been saying this for a while. I think they should work with him a little bit. You're not going to go crazy. There's no market. I understand that. I'm not saying they should go above and beyond and give him whatever he wants. But at the same time, he is more valuable to them than other teams because they don't have to give up picks to sign him. And I think for a guy who was making $500,000 hitting 50 home runs and you have the richest owner in baseball and he's your guy, you could just acquiesce a little. But they're not going to at all. And they'll probably win it. It feels like they're going to win it now. It feels like holding firm is going to end up. I don't know how much it matters. I really don't know how much it matters whether they pay Pete Alonso 23 or 21. I don't know if that matters. Does it really matter in the scheme of things for this team? Probably not. But it feels like they're going to get him for whatever number they feel they want to get him because there's no market, and it feels pretty obvious, and there's been reports of this. Pete desperately wants to continue being a Met. Why wouldn't he? I mean, he's been there for the losing, and they just got Juan Soto, and they had a great year last year, and the future is bright. Why the hell wouldn't he want to be a part of winning here with this team after what he's been with over the last 6 years with this team? So I'm sure he wants to stay very badly. And there are reports that since the Cincinnati Reds might make an offer list. If I'm Pete, I can go to worse places than Cincinnati for a year and try and hit a ton of home runs. Like, that doesn't sound like the worst idea either. Go to Cincinnati and hit a ton of home runs there. And then get your, you want to up your free agent, go hit 55 home runs in Cincinnati. And then go to look and sign a new contract. So, although I would think Cincinnati's a good fit for Pete, I just don't think he's going to go anywhere. Now, at this point, I don't know. It's at least 50-50, probably 60-40, that he's just going to take whatever the Mets are giving him. He's going to end up signing that 3 for 68. Maybe even less now, 3 for 65. It just feels like that's bound to happen. Because not only is there no market, I think part of the reason there is no market is Pete has shown little to no interest dealing with other teams. I think that's part of it. Now, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but every time you hear, like, any one of these shows I listen to, anytime anyone has a quote and a story from an executive or an unnamed executive in the National League, like, all the reports are, well, it just makes so much sense for him and the Mets. Like, everything. And I just think that's the feeling around baseball. Pete's not going to leave. I'm going to have to really outpay the market here if I'm going to convince Pete to come and take a contract and not be a Met. So, like, I think that's part of the reason it's hurt. And players might learn this. Juan Soto told you every team's available got $765 million. Now it's also because he's Juan Soto. But you might be hindering yourself making it as known as Pete Alonso did that he's desperate to be a Met. I'm not saying that's the only reason he's had no market. If teams really wanted him, they would make more of an effort, of course. But I think part of it is they're willing to go maybe a little bit more than what's being offered at the moment, but they feel they probably have to do much better than that if they want to prime away from the Mets. And it feels like a fait accompli, so they don't want to get involved. I think that has something to do with it. It might not even be the main reason there's no market. The main reason is just first base is first base right now. And Pete Alonso is coming off a down year. But I do think there's an element that throughout baseball, the feeling is, well, he just wants to be a Met and eventually they'll figure it out. It makes too much sense. It cost me a draft pick. It cost them nothing. Like, they'll figure it out. They need him in the middle of the lineup. Eventually, they're going to come to terms. This is all posturing. This is all, you know, the super agent Scott Boras doing whatever it takes to up the value with the Mets. I don't want to be used. I don't want to be the Blue Jays and have stories about me being where at the 10-yard line. Like, it's all nonsense. And I think that's part of the reason it's hurt his value in the market as well. Jimmy in Queens. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to say you do a great job, man.
Thank you.
I like when I get to listen to you. So what I wanted to say was I do think that eventually, I think there's a lot of smoke there with the Cease King thing, so I do expect those to happen because we haven't really heard of them in talks with anyone this offseason. It's always been kind of like, oh, they've shown interest. So I do like the prospects of that, but I do want to push back on some stuff you were saying about the bullpen.
Sure.
You were saying they cheaped out on getting Jansen to sign Stanek.
I mean, that's what I read. I read that they wanted they have their eyes on Jansen, but you know they kind of the Stanek move allows them to go with Pete, where the feeling would be if they had to up the price to get a pitcher of Jansen's ilk, that it might hinder their ability to get Pete. And so it was almost the story was about how the moves they're making still indicate they are open to business with Pete, and it's not a full pivot away from him.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I also read something today that Jansen, a big thing for Jansen is he wants to get to 500 saves,
mm-hmm.
and he just wouldn't have that opportunity, so that fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, let's say, if I made it seem like the Mets have every opportunity to get Jansen and they've chosen not to, I agree. I don't know if that's a perfect match, but the story was like they like Jansen, but they're going to make moves right now where it's like, let's give lesser money to Stanek just to make sure we have some there for Pete. Which, that I don't like. If they want Jansen and Jansen's willing to come, that's who they should get. And not worry about the extra million because it might cost them Pete Alonso. One, it shouldn't. And two, I don't think they should be thinking like that.
Yeah, I just
hear what you're saying. That, you're right. Jansen might want to be a closer and not be interested in the Mets. That's fair. I don't know that to be the case. I'm not saying Jansen's gung-ho to be a Met and they're saying nah. That's fair. I don't know that.
But I do, like, still, even with, like, them getting Stanek, you were saying, like, you don't know if the bullpen is a strength. I think this is a huge strength. I think by far they have the best bullpen in their division. The Phillies lost Estevez and mm-hmm. Hoffman this offseason
mm-hmm.
and brought in Romano, who's, like, coming off two bad years.
Yep. Injury plague, yeah, but yes.
And then with Minter in the eighth and Diaz in the ninth, this puts, like, Nunez, who was amazing last year when we saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett was our setup man last year. He put a 3.7 ERA.
Yeah.
And now he's a middle relief guy.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust him. And then you got Buto, too. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible bullpen. I agree with you that it's not a terrible bullpen. I just don't know if it's, like, it's not good enough where I'm like, you know what, the rotation can be because the bullpen will carry it. Like that, I just don't know if that's, I don't think it's that kind of bullpen, but you're right. It's better than some others, and it's not a disaster. But that's also, you know, leaning on Diaz, who I think I have a tough time now just feeling very confident that he's going to be very good this year.
Yeah, well, the only year we've really, like, he's going to make your heart beat. Like, that's just who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But the only year we've really seen him be, like, just like, oof, was his first year here. And that can be chalked up to, like, a lot of things, like mm-hmm. first year in a new place, all that. But he's been, like, you look at the numbers, he's been pretty good ever since. So I still trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming off an injury last year, so there's reason to believe he'll be even better this year.
Sure.
But
I'll give you that. The bullpen isn't terrible. It's just not, it's certainly not terrible. And it's even, it's fair, right? Minter's good. Let's see if there's another piece still coming. I do think, they have some options. Buto was very good in the bullpen. So, I mean, that's it. But again, it's not like Buto, who knows what he's going to be this year? And again, my overall point is the rotation is such a question mark that I don't view the bullpen as, well, they can live on, like, the bullpen's so good that you can, if the rotation falters, at least you feel like the pitching in the back end of the bullpen is excellent. So, yeah, it might be better. You're right. The Phillies lost some guys. Obviously, now Minter's off Atlanta. It's not as good as the Dodgers. It's just not, I don't know. I don't look at it and say, there's that's an unbelievable, really good bullpen. It has a chance to be. It was at times last year, and the rotation has a chance to be. It was last year, bar none. It was the best rotation in baseball for the second half of the season. So we'll see. On paper, I don't think you go in with any elite part of the team. That can change within a month. I'll be singing a different song if they're performing. And we'll see how the pitching lab goes. And if Diaz is really, you know, excellent at the back end of the booth, that helps. Minter has been, you know, good his entire career. They have options there, no doubt. They have options there. And they still might not be done. So I'm not saying they have a bad bullpen. I just don't know if I look at it and go, that's an elite, really good bullpen. And again, we're competing with arguably the best division in baseball, and without question, the dominant force in the sport, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I just think, like, you need something that's elite. You'll need to go into that matchup against the Dodgers with something that you could say, good luck beating this part of my team. And I don't know if the Mets have that. And they might, because last year the rotation felt that way towards the end of the year. And if they sign Pete Alonso, I think the lineup can be that. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Mr. McMonagle. We were talking in the first hour about teams like Texas who went for it all, and now they didn't make the playoffs, and before that they were nothing, mm-hmm. and Kansas City ditto. Well, I don't want the Mets to be that.
Right.
I mean, I don't want the Mets to get rid of all their prospects to win this year and then be mediocre.
Well, I mean, who's saying all their prospects? You're talking about a pitcher who's got 1 year of control. You're not going to have to trade the farm for one. I mean, and the guy's not a Cy Young winner, and Michael King has had 1 year of being a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. It's not you're going to trade your entire farm system for one of these two guys.
I don't even want to get rid of two of them. I mean, because we may have another trade coming at the trade deadline if we're close or if we're within a couple of games of first place or a couple of games ahead. Right. So I don't want to get rid of like the shortstop, Oscar Mauricio, mm-hmm. and Acuna, and the third fella who's down there is a Jet Williams. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be getting rid of these guys now because we've got three positions solid. If we get Alonso, we got shortstop, right field, and first base. McNeil's around. Nimmo's under contract for 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got some place for these kids to play. I don't want to be
okay, so you got center field. You've got the corner outfield is locked up. You've got shortstop locked up for the foreseeable future. You got third base now locked up. If you sign Pete and Vlad, and everyone's talking Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year, so you got first base locked up. You got your catcher locked up. Like, there's second base. There's second base and center field. That's it. And again, I'm just saying, like, do you want to win now? Because I think winning now is important. And why
but
can't
win
you
now and continue to be a great team?
What's that?
Win now and continue to be a great team. If you don't win now, you win next year.
Yeah, I understand that. So, but why can't you win next year if you trade two prospects for a stud 29-year-old starting pitcher? Pay that stud 29-year-old starting pitcher.
Do you want to extend him, or do
yes.
you if he has I mean, a great year, do you want to extend him?
Why not?
I know Stearns doesn't want to.
Well, that's the question mark. I agree with you. That's the question mark. But why? Like, if you trade for Michael King, and he comes over here, and he wins you 16, 17 games, and pitches to a 2.8 ERA, and he's 30 years old. He's got 400 innings going into the year. Let's say he finishes with 550, 560. Let's just even bring it to a nice round number of, because I don't know the exact change, foreign change. So let's say he finishes the year, he's got 600 innings. He's 30 years old, he's got 600 innings, and he was just a great starting pitcher for you, just coming into his own. You can't pay that pitcher because you've got a hard and fast rule of not giving contracts to 30-year-old pitchers. Like, come on. Come on. Like, that's all. And again, with the starting pitching, like, I got this guy who's constantly hitting me up on Twitter. When I said every once in a while you're going to have to sign a big free agent. For Big Mac, every free agent and trade piece is that's available that night is the take every once in a while. It's a meathead take. I like the meathead. That's funny. Because they ever do it. They haven't done it yet. Yes, I thought Burns was certainly worthy of the contract. I think Burns is very good. I do. I think Burns is good. I think Burns is going to be good with the Diamondbacks. I thought Burns was worth the contract for the New York Mets. Fine. They didn't do it. Now I'm saying I wanted to trade for Garrett Crochet because I want young pitchers. I wanted them to sign Yamamoto because I want young starting pitching. If they would have done all of these things, I would stop complaining. They haven't done it. It's the same thing. Everyone's like, "Oh, McMonagle, you want a tank every year," because they never do it. If it actually happened once, I wouldn't be screaming about it the next year. Oh, you want the Giants to lose every year and get the quarterback? Yes, because they haven't done it. I wanted them to do it last year. I wanted them to do it this year. If they did it last year, I wouldn't root for this year. And hopefully now this year they get the quarterback, and I won't be talking about tanking next year. And if I say the Mets should get a starting pitcher, the minute they do it, I'll stop saying they need to do it. If they sign Burns, I wouldn't be screaming, you have to trade for Dylan Cease or Michael King. And if they trade for Michael King and sign him to a 5 or 6 year deal, I won't be saying, well, now you have to sign the next great starting pitcher. But you have to kind of be willing to do it once. Because, you know, that's all. It's all. And it doesn't have to be this year. It doesn't have to be next year. But eventually, you're going to have to take a chance because it's too hard to develop starting pitching. It's not easy. It's not easy to find diamonds in the rough or develop starting pitching and build an entire rotation out of it. So eventually you're going to have to take a chance on a great, you want an excellent starting pitcher. You want that ace guy. You want to show up against the Dodgers and beat them game one, and you need an ace starting pitcher. Eventually you're going to have to probably pay for him. That's all I'm saying. And it's not the guy who's of on at the tip of your tongue that evening because there's a news report. It's not. Burns is one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball. Burns has been a dominant pitcher for how many years? I never said once they got to sign. It was Max Fried. I said, Burns, go get Burns. He's the best starting pitcher on the market. Go pay him. I wanted them to trade for Garrett Crochet because if they're not going to spend on big-time free agents on the wrong side of 30, go trade for young, excellent starting pitching. I said, go win the Yamamoto sweepstakes because if you're not going to pay starting pitching over 30, you best damn give your best bottom dollar to go get a 25-year-old starting pitcher. They didn't, and I'm not blaming them for it. They didn't win Yamamoto. They didn't trade for Crochet. They didn't sign Burns. So now I'm on to the next guy that makes sense for them. If any of those happened, I might not be having this opinion. But they didn't do any of them. And I'm not blaming them in every case, but I'm just saying, I said do this. I said I would do this. They didn't. I said I would do that. They didn't. I said maybe this. They didn't. So now, yes, I'm on to the next thing because I want them to get an ace starting pitcher. This isn't about killing the Mets, believe it or not. Believe it or not, I want the Mets to win. I want them to be the best version of themselves. This isn't about killing Stearns. It's not about killing the owner. It's about why isn't the owner willing to spend more money to have the best team possible? And why don't they get a starting pitcher? Go do it. Go sign Pete. Go get the starting pitcher and go compete with the Dodgers because that's what I want to see. I know I'm a Yankee fan, and I'll even sometimes have a little, I'll throw some shade the Mets way. I'm not above it. And we'll have some fun. A guy gets on me, I'll go back at him. That's how it works. I'll have some fun. I'll tweak the Mets on a given day or something. I'm not saying I'll never do it. Or maybe even I'll root against them if the Yankees have a brutal loss or something. I'm not above it. But overall, this is all in the idea of how do we get the Mets to a World Series? That's what I want. I want Yankees, Mets in the World Series. And then once they get there, sure, I want the Yankees to win 12-0 for four straight days. Yes. But I want them to have a rotation. I don't trust this rotation. I want them to have a middle of the lineup. I don't love the idea of relying so heavily on a sophomore Vientos and then making them change positions. I don't like the idea of Jesse Winker as your big, you know, the big offensive piece you brought in after Juan Soto. I think they could do better, and the owner's spending less money than he did last year. And we're killing one owner for it and praising the other. That's all I'm saying.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
screening a phone call, but we're going to get to him here in a second because I started the show, opened the show, a little bit off the news that the Mets are in on Dylan Cease, who is available, or at least the word is, being shopped around by the San Diego Padres, as well as Michael King. And I've just been a proponent of getting as much talent on this Mets team as possible, and particularly in the starting rotation. So they add Pete Alonso, they get one of those two starting pitchers at the top of the rotation. I think that makes them much more suited and much more plausibly competitive with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are the super team right now. We just have to face facts. So that's what I want to see the Mets do. I want to see this owner spend money. And I want to see an ace added to the rotation. And Fliegelman just can't. Every time I go in there, he is all over me that he has no interest whatsoever in Dylan Cease as a starting pitcher. In fact, he thinks he stinks. And he thinks it's ridiculous that I am proposing to bring in the starting pitcher who can't get the Dodgers out as someone who can help them contend against the Los Angeles Dodgers. So you're not in on Cease, huh?
No, not one bit. And I can say this. We agree on Michael King. I would, okay. Like, it's not that I'm against trading prospects or against trading for a pitcher and adding to the rotation. I would love to find out one day in the next few days that the Mets traded for Michael King. I think King's a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. I think he's proven that he can pitch in New York, which is huge.
Good point.
But Dylan Cease is a guy who, when he was available last year, and the Mets weren't really connected, so I was relieved because mm-hmm. I think this guy, he's had one great season for a trash White Sox team in a joke of a division that we all constantly make fun of. Nobody's ever said in the last, 15 years, something respectful about an AL Central team. Dylan Cease is maybe the pitcher or player most responsible for the Padres losing the division series to the Dodgers last October. He started Game 1 and Game 4. The Padres won Game 2 and 3, so he got them off in a hole. And then he blew the lead when they had a chance to close out the series, and Game 4 was at home. Mm-hmm. In three career postseason starts, his ERA is over 13 individually in each of those games. He's a guy who pitches great against bad teams and struggles against the good teams. I don't need to roll him out when the Mets are facing the Phillies, the Braves, the Dodgers regular season or postseason. I agree with you. I would add the right pitcher. Dylan Cease is not it.
It's a compelling case. It's a compelling case. I mean, I just look, I mean, because his projection, you're right about the postseason, too. He was brutal for the White Sox against the A's in 21. And with the Padres last year, I don't individually, whatever, the two games, I guess I could break that down, but the two games, 14.4 ERA. Two games, two starts, five innings pitched.
I can roll out a position player to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's not entirely wrong. I don't know if Chuck in the truck is listening, but I know Chuck was telling me he was the right guy that the Mets would actually pay because of his strikeout numbers. But his projection for next year is 11-9 with a 3.72 ERA with a 1.2 WHIP. So look,
and that could be fair, but again, yeah. That's if you're looking to add an ace type pitcher who can pitch well in the playoffs.
He's finished in the Cy Young top five twice, including last season.
Like he will pitch really well against the bad teams. I'm not saying he's not a solid regular season pitcher,
right?
But if you're looking for a guy who you can roll out there come October, I'll take my chances with Michael King. One, I think he could be better in the regular season too, and mm-hmm. I think he's a better candidate to pay because there's so few innings on his arm, and he's really if he throws 180 innings this year, he's up to 600 for his career.
Right.
I could give that guy a 4 or 5 year deal.
Right.
Dylan Cease, I know the Mets aren't going to extend, and they shouldn't. He's overrated. He is.
Yeah.
He is the analytic darling. Like we always talk about over the projected 162.
Yeah.
He's going to be great against those teams that you are not going to see when it matters.
Right. I'm a little bit higher on him than you are. I understand your point. He's also, we talked about this too, he's durable. He's made 32 or more starts every year since 2021.
I'll give him credit for that. That's very impressive.
And it's important, but I hear what you're saying. Here's what I would say. I agree with you that I would prefer Michael King for two reasons. One, if I want to, well, really one reason, but angles to the one reason. I want to be, if I'm going to trade a starting pitcher and prospects, I want to sign him. And I think Michael King, for two separate reasons, is much more likely to sign with the Mets. One, you're right, the innings limits. We talked about that last night. 400 innings. I think that's someone maybe, considering he was a reliever, considering there's less, innings on those arms, maybe David Stearns would be willing to sign him, and you probably get a better deal because Dylan Cease has been a more proven, although, be it, you're right, King had a great year last year, a more proven starting pitcher in this league, durable, gives you innings every year, 180, 165, 184, 177, 189. He's finished inside the top five in Cy Young's twice in his career. So I think you probably get King for cheaper, and I think Stearns might be willing to sign him long-term more than Dylan Cease. And I want that, obviously, if I'm going to trade prospects. But here's where I don't know if I can totally agree with you. If I'm willing to make the move, like if Stearns views it as I'm not signing either one of them, like I don't extend pitchers who are 30 years old or not, that's just how I feel. Depending on how much more or less, you're right, I don't know how that's, you probably have to give up better prospects to get Cease because of everything I just said. I don't know, and I know in a big game you might tell me different. I don't know if you can tell me that next year Michael King will be better than Dylan Cease. Like, that's the only thing. Like, if I'm making the trade because I want to win this year and I'm trying to put my best forward this year and I'm not going to sign either of them anyway, it's a one-year deal. I don't know if Dylan Cease isn't the better pitcher for 1 year. But I agree. In my mind, I'd rather have King because if I'm going to trade prospects, I want to, and I have the richest owner in baseball, I want to sign the guy. At 30 years old, I want to sign him. And King might be getting less years. King probably gets less money. And King probably is more likely to be signed by David Stearns, considering, I mean, it's double the amount of innings. Michael King has thrown half of the innings Dylan Cease has thrown.
And to the strikeout point that you mentioned, I know Truck did say on the show yesterday,
yeah,
their numbers are almost identical.
Yeah.
Cease is a little bit higher,
yeah,
but they're both 10 and change Ks per nine.
Yeah. I agree. I think King probably is the better option for the Mets. But I do want to win this year, and I can't tell you I know for sure Dylan Cease isn't the better pitcher next season. But if it's even close, King's worth it.
And does the New York factor play a role for you at all? Because, like, Dylan Cease screams to me, like, we both agree, like, Ryan Cashman made the right move trading for Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
And Sonny Gray was better at the time of that trade than Dylan Cease is now.
Yeah.
I know Michael King can handle pitching under the bright lights of New York. I've seen Dylan Cease in every big spot in his career just totally fall apart.
Yeah.
King is the same guy against the Braves last year in the wild card round, threw seven shutout innings. Any Mets fan would want to sign up for a guy who could throw seven shutout innings against the Atlanta Braves. And Scherzer couldn't do that. DeGrom couldn't do that.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at his postseason pitching. I mean, to be fair,
he had that game, and then he wasn't great against the Dodgers.
Right,
but again, a five runs in five innings is still infinitely better than the outings that Cease was able to give them,
right,
where he's out after a couple innings and they're in a huge hole.
Yeah, the New York thing, he was only a starter for that second half of the year for the Yankees. It's not like he's been a proven starter, but he was dynamic out of the bullpen. And then, last year as a starting pitcher for the Yankees, he was great.
I agree. He's not as proven. If I'm going to swing for a trade that can help me in the postseason, then I'm going for the upside.
I don't disagree. I think you're right. I'm more willing to do it for Cease than you are. I think Cease is a little bit better than you're giving him credit for. But I don't disagree that for the Mets, the better target is Michael King. And you want to stick it to the Yankees, get both ends of that trade. Get Juan Soto and Michael King.
I didn't even think of that. That's an amazing reason to also go get King instead.
Like, you get the guy they didn't want to trade for Soto. Yeah, you get Soto and King. That would really stick it to the Mets. Can you imagine Michael King, the next 5 years, Michael King is the ace and Juan Soto's the MVP, and they're winning championships with those two guys as the stalwart of your rotation in the middle of your lineup hitter. Oh, my God. There you go, Mets fans. You want to be big brothers? Go win with Michael King at the top of your rotation and Juan Soto hitting three-run home runs to send you to the World Series. Ugh. That you want to know that of all the stuff that the owner said, of all the things the owner said, and I heard Evan talking about this a little bit the other day, of all the things that in that interview that Hal Steinbrenner is getting a little bit of flack for, saying he believes the team is better now than without Juan Soto is the one that bothers me. I mean, some of the stuff he said bothers me. The chip on the shoulder and then not willing to spend money is really what bothers me, but the Yankees are not better without Juan Soto. I can't hear anybody else say it. And Evan's point was, well, if you thought this was a better option than signing Juan Soto, then why would you offer him $760 million if you thought you could pivot to a better team? And I would say, well, he would tell you he might not have been done. It might have been Juan Soto plus. You could still have Devin Williams and Juan Soto, which would make you better than just Juan Soto last year. And it's over the next 15, 16 years. It gives you the ability to still be good long past this current year's team. But they're not better. They're not. And nor is the offense of Bellinger and Goldschmidt even capable of giving you the same offense that Juan Soto gives you. It's just not. They're not as good. They're not as good. And as great as a player as he is, and as great as I think the Mets can be, I still, like, the payroll is, they went to the NLCS on a magical run. They brought in Juan Soto. Pete Alonso's, you know, just dangling in the wind. And Met fans seem to be okay with them cutting payroll off of last year. Now, I know a lot of it was dead money on Verlander and Scherzer. And that's off the books. Don't you want to reinvest that money? And I'm sorry, the Juan Soto contract, as big as it is, doesn't bring them back to last year's payroll. So you're willing to pay more on a team to have the prospects and have Scherzer and Verlander not pitch for you than to bolster a roster and make sure you can go win with the big move after Juan Soto? Like, I just don't understand why so many Met fans are like, extremely comfortable and happy with what's gone on here, and are comfortable and perfectly fine with the Mets playing absolute hardball with Pete Alonso. Because we know what Boris is doing. We know how difficult he's trying to make things. We understand that that's his job. It's on Pete. Pete needs to, I know he doesn't want to hire a new agent, but Pete needs to call Steve Cohen and get this thing worked out. Plain and simple. That's what needs to happen. And someone tweeted me before, apparently, Boomer Esiason, the great Boomer Esiason, 5 hours ago tweeted, I'm feeling like Pete is a Met tomorrow. Now, does Boomer know something? We have heard stories that Pete was on a plane, right? Evan and Tiki said they had a guy in studio for an in-studio visit who said he ran into Pete in Tampa, I guess, and he was flying back to Newark, New Jersey. So Pete is, after the amazing day, got on a plane and flew to New York, if you believe such things. And now Boomer Esiason is telling you he's getting the feeling like Pete will be a Met tomorrow. And I think now, even I've come around, I still won't parse words. I don't think the Mets want him. I think the Mets will take him at a certain number, and I do think there's a distinction in that. And I can argue that till I'm blue in the face. Doesn't matter. All it matters is if they get the player. And for a long time, I thought they weren't because they didn't want him. But the market has collapsed to such a level. And quite frankly, I think the biggest reason that he will sign is because Pete, although he's played hardball and although he's wanted his fair share and he's made it difficult on them and Scott Boras has made it difficult on them, the biggest reason if these two sides, and I hope Met fans understand this, and I hope Met fans come around and get off this Pete selfish crap. Because he's tried to get every dollar. That's what free agents do. That's what free agents do. And the owners tried to save every dollar. That's what owners do. But to me, if the Mets end up signing Pete Alonso, the biggest reason why is because Pete desperately wanted to be a Met. That's it. Pete desperately wanted to be a Met. That's why if it happens, I'm starting to lean back that it's going to happen now. If that happens, it's because Pete wanted to be a Met. And he didn't want to really talk to anybody else because I can't believe nobody else. And maybe I'm being naive, but I really can't believe that nobody else in baseball is willing to offer a reasonably fair contract to the best home run hitter in the sport this side of Aaron Judge. That on a down year, he hits 35. On a down year. That nobody in baseball would be willing to give Pete Alonso a fair offer when he hits more home runs than anyone in baseball. I just refuse to believe it. I think the rest of baseball believes he's going to the Mets, so why bother? And I think maybe free agents can learn from it. Be more like Juan Soto. Be more like Juan Soto. Every team's available to me. I show no mercy. I show no love, blah, blah, blah. Make it very clear you're a free agent, because unless you're going to be Aaron Judge or you're going to have the year where it's undeniable everybody's going to want you, because if you have a down year and you're telling everybody you want to be a Met or you want to stay with your team, it don't help. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. 2 hours down. Three more to go on our five-hour midnight ride. We'll get into some other things. The Giants and how close they are to Shador Sanders, and is that hurting them in the draft process? Who's the Yankee? Who's the player every Yankee fan wants but is only ranked and get mad at me for calling him overrated, and yet he's only ranked 83rd out of the top 100 players in Major League Baseball? And what did Cam Newton say that speaks to the core of how we view sports?